Wishing everyone a Shavua Tov. Let's take a look at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Beis Omid Beis. The Mishnah says that as far as the Mokum Shechita, Kabbalah Sadam, Hazoah Sadam, Achilas Sabosar, all these dinim that were addressed at the beginning of this parak, it says Chatos Hatzibur VeHayochid. And the Aloch of Chatos is the following. And the Mishnah now goes ahead and tells you, since we mentioned Chatos HaTzibur, what are they? And he mentions Seirei Rashei Chadoshim, Shel Moados, and we'll have to go into each one in detail. Shchitasa Batsofa Kibul Domon BeKlisharis Batsofa. So basically, even though we're talking about Chatos HaTzibur, and one could have argued maybe Chatos HaTzibur has a different din, the Mishnah tells you, no, Chatos HaTzibur has the same din as a Chatos Yochid, and it requires Tzofon. Whether it's with regard to the Shechita has to be B'Tzofon HaMizbeach, exactly where the Tzofon is, we have to figure out. And the Kabbalah Sadam B'Klisharis has to be B'Tzofon. It has the din, basically, of Kodshi Kodshim, which require a Shechita B'Tzofon. Then the Mishnah goes on to tell us that Domon, how do you accomplish the Zrikas Domim of these Chatos? Ta'un Arba Matonos al Arba Kronos. You have to give a Maton on each one of the four Kronos HaMizbeach. And the Mishnah is going to go into detail as to how exactly you do this. This was already derived back on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis from the fact that the Torah repeated the word Kronos to teach you it's not only enough to have two Kronos, you need two times two, and that's four Kronos. Ketzad, how do we achieve this? So we're on the top now of Daf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. Olah Bakevesh Uponala Sovev. So the Kohen goes up the ramp, turns to his right side. Now on the right side there's something called the Kevesh HaKotan, which immediately leads him onto the Sovev, which is again that protrusion which has a width of one arm and goes all the way around the Mizbeach. And a lot of what will be discussed here is in which direction does he go, on his way up, on his way down. But in any event, once he goes up the Kevesh from the Dorom and he turns towards his right, because Kol Pnios, all the time we turn towards the right, then he reaches what's called the Keren Dromus Mizrachus. And that's where he does the Matana Rishona, the first of the four Matanos of Dama Chatos. He continues then going up the eastern side, but he's now traveling from south up to north, Mizrachus Tzfonis. Now he's on the northern side. At this point, he's on the eastern side, up north. Now he has to take a turn towards the western side. And that's called Tzfonis Maravis. And then he comes down through the Maravis Dromis, down south, which is the way he originally came up. And he's basically doing what we call a counterclockwise circle around the Mizbeach. And finally, the Mishnah addresses the issue of Shiori Adam. So we're going to stop here and take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Hechi Ovid, exactly how does the Kohen do the Nesinas Dam on the Mizbeach? Now, we were discussing Mizbeach, and last week we had many discussions about the details of the Mizbeach. We spoke about a Mizbeach Pogum, the absence of a Mizbeach, where the Azara could be a replacement, a substitute for the Mizbeach. We spoke about the concept of Avonim Shleimos. There were many different dimensions of Mizbeach that we discussed last week. Here, what we're going to discuss is what's called the Kronos HaMizbeach, which become absolutely critical in the case of Chatos, because the Chatos, as we said before, requires Damal Kronos HaMizbeach, or maybe they don't require Damal Kronos HaMizbeach. That's going to be the issue that we want to address over here. Now, when you're looking at the Mizbeach, what you're seeing is the following. You're seeing the sides of the Mizbeach, we'll call them the Kiros HaMizbeach. You're seeing the Kronos HaMizbeach, which are located on top of the floor of the Mizbeach, on the Gag HaMizbeach. And what our sugi here wants to address is there a possibility of doing the Zrikas Dama Chatos, not on the Kronos in the literal sense, meaning the kronos that are on top of the Mizbeach, but rather on a place on the side of the Mizbeach, meaning on the kir of the Mizbeach, which l'chora, you know, if I didn't know any better, I would say that's a ridiculous proposition, because if the Torah requires kronos, and in the case of chatas, the Torah repeats itself, then let's climb up to the top of the Mizbeach and do this rika on the kronos kipshuton. And yet, the Gemara now says, Hechi Ovid, how does he do this rika sadam? And the Gemara quotes a machlokas here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. We don't know exactly which one of them holds which, but Chadom, according to one opinion, and that's the opinion we want to focus our attention on, no sein ama elech vi ama elech. Now this is very interesting. Ama elech and ama elech might mean the following, that we have what's called the Zavis HaMizbeach. What's the Zavis HaMizbeach? There are four chronos, and each one of the four corners obviously has a 90 degree angle, and therefore you have four 90 degree angles on the four corners of the Mizbeach, and each one of those four 90 degree angles is called a Zavis HaMizbeach. Okay, we have that so far. Zavis HaMizbeach. Now, according to the first opinion here, he could put the dam on the Zavis HaMizbeach, Ama Elech V'Ama Elech. In other words, how much of a space is considered close enough to the Zavis HaMizbeach that it's considered a Zavis HaMizbeach? We give him an Ama in each direction. So for example, if I were to draw a picture of a Zavis here, we're going to give him an Ama here and an Ama here. Each Ama, where he's going to do the Zrika, is within an Ama's distance of the Zavis HaMizbeach. Now, what I'm not sure about yet, and this is what we have to figure out as we go through the sugya, where is this Ama Elech V'Ama Elech? Is it on the Keren itself? Or is it on the Kir HaMizbeach below the Keren? Okay, let's take a look at the second Mandiyomer, and sometimes if you see the second opinion, you could extrapolate the first opinion. V'chadomer, according to the other opinion, Mechate V'Yored. Now this is a unique halacha in Karban Chatas, that Karban Chatas requires what we call Etzba. In other words, we're not talking about Zrika from a distance, but we're rather talking about the Kohen dipping his finger, his forefinger, is that what we call it in English?
Pointer, forefinger.
Yeah, the pointer, whatever you call it, into the dam, and then he touches the Mizbeach with the dam. Again, it's a very complicated procedure, because what happens is, when you have dam on the etzba, then naturally some of the dam is going to flow backwards. You know, it's very, again, because we're talking about liquid dam, we're not talking about coagulated dam. Coagulated dam is called dam shedikosh, and that's hosel zrika. So if he's doing zrika mamish from a distance, he can take the kli, and he can throw the dam in such a way that it hits the Mizbeach, and he empties the kli. But in the case of etzpa, you know, some of the dam is going to move backwards, and the question is how he gets that dam onto the Mizbeach. Because we don't want to waste any dam. We want to make sure that all the dam that came into the kli shoreis eventually gets onto the Mizbeach. In any event, the word machate means to go like this from top to bottom. And where is this dam going on? So watch this. It says keneged chudo shel keren. Okay, there's something called the chudo shel keren, which is the same as what we call the zavis HaMizbeach. Okay, fine. So this is the shvitz, you know, the point of the keren. There are four such points on each one of the chronos. But if the Gemara uses the word keneged, what does that mean, keneged? Is it on the keren, or is it keneged the keren? Do you hear the difference between the two?
Like opposite or...
Right, here it would mean below the keren, but parallel to the keren, if you follow what I mean. In other words, the keren HaMizbeach, which we'll call the zavis now, goes down. What do I mean it goes down? You're on the Mizbeach itself, you're no longer on the keren. So it's very possible that the first Mandi Omar, who says, no saying Ama Elech, Vyama Elech,
he might be talking about the Keren itself, but the Chiddush here is that he doesn't have to go on top of the Keren. Let's say the Keren is an amah high. Does he have to climb on top of the Keren and put the Dam inside the Keren? The answer is no. Does he have to, excuse me, is he allowed to go below the Keren and do what we call the Etzpa, and the Gias Etzpa on the Kira Mizbeach? Again, the answer is no. He's going to have to do the Etzpa Dam onto the Keren HaMizbeach, because after all, the Torah does require Keren HaMizbeach, but not the Keren HaMizbeach milamala, but rather Keren HaMizbeach on its sides. Now, how far are you willing to go? So you take that particular Keren, and again, you're going to have to multiply this by four, and where is there an Amma, so to speak, to the right, and an Amma to the left of the Zavis HaMizbeach, in this case, the Zavis HaKeren. The second Mandi Omar, he's talking about a different part of the Mizbeach. He's talking about below the Keren, on the Kira Mizbeach, and he's willing to accept Keneged Chudo Shel Mizbeach, Shel Keren. Now, again, I'm a little perplexed here, because on the one end, he seems to drop the requirement of Keren, but on the other end, he does mention Keren. You follow me? Now, it's on the one end, he's doing the Zrika on the side. So I have a little bit of a diagram here. Maybe I could share this with you. If you take a look. Here, let me squeeze by here, man. Shmuel, I don't know if you can look on. But what we're talking about here, if this is the Keren, let's say the Keren on his back goes one Amma above the God of the Mizbeach, he's going to do the Zrika here, according to the second Mandi Omar, by taking the Etzpa, which is dipped into the Dam, and pushing it down, correct? And we're going to see exactly how he clears away the Dam that's falling down. He has to use two fingers to make sure that all the Dam goes through here. But look, he's going to put it here. Now, is he putting it on the Keren itself? Or is he putting it in this area? Let me just, if I can borrow a pencil or something, but if you can see what I mean, is he doing it here? You follow? Which is Keneged Chudo Shel Keren. So one Mandi Omar, the first Mandi Omar, is going to allow on the sides of the Keren an Amma Mikan and an Amma Mikan. The other Mandi Omar is dipping down below the Keren. He's already on the Kira Mizbeach, if you follow me. But yet he's Machped, it has to be Keneged Chudo Shel Keren. And now why do I find this paradoxical? Because on the one hand, he seems to be lowering our requirement vis-a-vis the Keren. He's already below the Keren. But on the other hand, he's upgrading our requirement because he wants to make sure it's Keneged Chudo Shel Keren. But basically, he's got a very small area. You know, it's like an exact millimeter, you know, which is called Keneged Chudo Shel Mizbeach, which is right here. And that's where... Now Etzba helps me a lot, because in Zrika you're a little more clumsy, more complicated, but he does it with his finger. So he's literally wiping his finger on this sharp part, which is Keneged, which corresponds to the Chudo Shel Keren. Okay, hopefully this will get clearer as we go along. Right now, it's as clear as Dan, if you know. Anyway, so he says the following. Now, the Gemara says that in order to appreciate this machlokas, we have to put this machlokas into a broader perspective. This machlokas is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. Keep in mind that Rabbi Lazar is an Amora. Now we go back to Rabbi Lazar, who's a Tana. We have to keep that in mind. This Tana is called Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says the following. Aliba de Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon. Okay, we'll see exactly what he says. Is Kuliyamalo pleading. This machlokas that's recorded between Rabbi Lazar the Amora and Rabbi Yochanan has nothing to do with Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon. But keep pleading, but the machlokas is going to be Aliba de Rebbe. So we have machlokas now that predates our machlokas that we've been focusing on, namely machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, and that goes back to the time of the Tanoim. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon and Rebbe. And the Gemara is pointing out that the inner machlokas that we have amongst the Amoraim between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan, that's a machlokas in how to interpret Rebbe. So if you have a flowchart, you'd have the following. You've got Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon here on top, let's call it the top right,
the Keren Shomus Mizrachis, right? And then you have Rebbe on the top left. And then coming out of Rebbe, we're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. How does Rebbe hold? You know, there's going to be two interpretations of the Shita of Rebbe. But according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, there's no machlokes whatsoever. We're just going to make a bracha here. And now we're going to have to see what is the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, to understand why there's no machlokas according to him. The Omar, and what is the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon? He atzma eno nases el begufa shel keren. He doesn't accept any possibility of doing zrika sadam in the case of a chatos, other than on the Karen itself. And that's clear. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon is outspoken about the mitzvah of Nesinas Dam Chatos. And again, when we talk about Chatos here, keep in mind that we're talking about Chatos Behema, because there's another sugya later on in the Masechta called Chatos Ha'ov. That's not relevant to us, because that's a whole different set of rules and regulations. But in Chatos, classical Chatos, Chatos Behema, it's got to be mamish on the Karen, which is Barash HaMizbeach. So you got to go up to the top of the Mizbeach, and you're going to have to do the Zrikas Adam on the Keren itself. And by the way, we're not saying that this is an embellishment, you know, this is a Shiari Mitzvah or Zekeilu Yamveyu. We're saying that this is critical. According to Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, it's critical that the Nesinas Adam has to be on the Keren itself. He took the Torah literally, you know, put your money where your mouth is. The Torah says Kronos, it's got to be on the Kronos. So any possibility in Amoraim that we're going to dip down below the Kronos, that can't be according to Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon. Is therefore the Kuli Amalo Pligi, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer the Amora agree that when we're talking about the Keren, and it's got to be on the Keren includes not just the Chudo Shel Keren. Again, we're going to only need the Chudo Shel Keren in one Amora within the Sheet of Rebbe, as we'll soon see. Other than that, if we're talking about the Keren itself, the Torah doesn't specify that it's got to be on the Chudo Shel Keren. We're going to look at the Keren, and we're going to say that any Amma on any one of the four, what we call Zavios HaMizbeach, in this case the Zavios of the Keren, that's called Keren. Ki pli aliba de Rebbe. Oh, Rebbe is going to give us this machlokas, because Rebbe seems to hold that you don't need Zrika on the Keren itself. Now, how do I know that Rebbe holds you don't need Zrika on the Keren itself? Because Rebbe is of the opinion that Dam Chatos is to be placed, again we're talking about a Chatos Behema, on the upper half of the Kira Mizbeach. You know, the Kira Mizbeach is divided into two. What divides it into two? The Chut HaSikra, right? The Chut HaSikra. And in 99 out of 100 Karbonos, the Zrikas HaDam has to be Lamata, below the Chut HaSikra. The only two exceptions are Chatos Behem and Ola Sa'of. Ola Sa'of, forget, is going to be a major sugya later on, but now we're talking about Chatos Behem. And Chatos Behem is very unique because we need Zrika Sadam Lamala Michut HaSikra. And Rebbe says that that's what we're going to do. We're going to put the Dam Lamala Michut HaSikra. It's not on the Keren itself, it's on the sides of the Mizbeach. Now we're opening up to a possibility that dropping the Kronos, we might be able to, you know, have a lot of flexibility in terms of where the Nesina Saddam will be. Now again, here's going to be the crux of the machlokas now in Amoraim, Aliva de Rebbe. Rebbe does away with the requirement of Kronos. Or no. Or maybe Rebbe does require Kronos. Because again, the pasuk requires Kronos. So we don't want to play around with the Pshuto Shel Mikra over here. But how could Rebbe on the one hand hold that you don't need the Dam on the Kronos, you just need Lamala Michut HaSikra on the Kira Mizbeach, but yet, at the same time, Rebbe
Rebbe has to be honest or loyal to the pasuk itself that requires chronos. Do you hear what I'm saying? It says A and not A at the same time. Rebbe is not requiring the sinus dam on the chronos, but yet the pasuk requires chronos. Who can figure out what the agent here is going to be? What's the agent that's going to allow Rebbe, according to at least one man Yomar, to on the one hand maintain chronos and on the other hand absolve us of the requirement of chronos?
The fact is done with the finger somehow?
No, you're close. If you point your finger this way.
That it's above the chuta.
It's called chudo shel chronos. Mm. So the key concept here, this is the magical concept, is called chudo shel chronos. So Rebbe, instead of understanding the pasuk as referring to the keren itself and allowing you to do the zrika on the two sides of the keren, no, Rebbe says you can go below. It's got to be above the chuta sikra, but on the kira mizbeach below the chronos. But yet at the same time, the Torah requires me to have this, the sinas dam on the chronos. He says there's a new halacha called chudo shel keren, and the chudo shel keren, if you remember the diagram, right, it goes all the way down, right. Here's the keren, that little spitz that comes up on top, a little tower, so to speak, right? And if you look at the chudo shel keren, which is exactly where, you know, the two 90-degree angles meet, that sharp point is called chudo shel keren. And the chudo shel keren is not limited to the keren itself. Because that part really, really is, you know, like, let's say, for example, if you were going up on the corner of the mizbeach all the way up, you'd eventually get to the chudo shel keren. So let's see inside. Mar Sover, according to one mandim, that's the first opinion. He doesn't have to place the dam on the chudo shel keren. So then now the magical question is, so the question is, what's the magic here? How do we maintain the pasuk that requires chronos? And now you're not even requiring chudo shel keren. Oh, and the answer is ama elich kineged keren hu. Meaning that the keren itself goes down one amma on each side, right? So here's your keren, and now when you go down from the keren, all this area which is corresponding to the keren, you know, in a straight line to the keren on both sides, that's called keren according to Rebbe. That's one madliyama. And Mar Sover, the other opinion, says no, keneged chuda shel keren. It's got to be chuda shel keren in tfei, but to go to the right or to the left that encompass an area of an ama lo. That's not considered included in keren. So we have now, to summarize, we have one opinion, which is Reb Elazar ben Shimon, and then we have two opinions in understanding Rebbe. Reb Elazar ben Shimon requires that the zrikas adam. Again, when I use the word zrika here, please don't take me literally because we're talking about achatas be'etzpa, but that has to take place on the keren. There's no ein pshavot. How do we say? No compromise. See, we're not going to retreat from the requirement of chronos literally, but chronos means the entire keren. So you have to have an amah here and an amah here. That's all part of the keren, of the zovis shel keren. Now we get to Rebbe, and here are the two ways of understanding Rebbe. Rebbe certainly alleviates us, or the Kohen, of the responsibility of putting the dam on the keren, but yet the Torah says to put the dam on the keren. So we have to figure out how the kira mizbeach can now assume the status of keren. How do we take keren and expand it? So one man the Omer says, well, the keren itself, right, these two flat areas of the keren on top of the mizbeach go down one amma in each direction. So one amma on the kira mizbeach, which is below the keren itself, that's called keren. And the other man, the Yomar, says no. In order to get the keren itself on the kira mizbeach, you need keneged chudo shel keren. Only that spitz, that mamish corner, I don't know what word you want to use, and nothing else will do.
Is that referring to amma elech or amma elecha?
So the first man, the Omer, says, Oma Eilech, that means that the Keren dips down below the Keren, onto the Kira Mizbeach, one Amma in each direction, because keep in mind, the width of the Keren is one Amma. So we take the width of the Keren, and we go down one Amma, and that one Amma corresponds to the Keren, to the side of the Keren. And do the same thing, Oma Eilech, on the other side, this is also against the Amma of the keren. It dips down. Below that, you're in trouble. Rebbe, on the other hand, according to the second mandion, would allow you to go even below that ama on the kira mizbeach, as long as you're at the chudo shel keren. The chudo shel keren will take you all the way from the top of the keren down to the chut hasikra, and all that is okay for zrika sada. Okay, now let's put this on the side for just a moment and take a look at the Nefesh Tova, which is on page, again, it starts at Simon Mem on page Tuf Ayin Vav, but that part is already just a copy, it's a graph copy of the Gemara that we did. So we're looking now on the left side, which is page Tuf Ayin Zayin. And he starts by quoting Rashi. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the Rashi here, and then we'll just read it one more time in the original. He says the following: according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, nobody argues. We don't need Chudo Shel Keren, and we're going to need just the Keren itself. And the Keren itself, it expands Amma al Amma Barum Amma. So it's one Amma to the right, one Amma to the left, and the height of an Amma. And that's on the top of the Mizbeach. And you can multiply that by four. Rashi says, Bechol Zavis Vizavis, Bechol Mokom Sheba Kori Keren. Any area on the Keren itself is called the Keren. Because again, the Keren's dimensions were one Amma and one Amma. So on that, there's no machlokas. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is outspoken. He pinpoints exactly where the dam is going to be placed. Keep Ligi Alib the Rebbe, says Rashi. What does it mean? Rebbe was the one who machshale michut hasikul amayla, that the nesinas adam is from the middle of the mizbech and up. Obviously, he's below the keren. The afal gav, and this I would read as a kasha. Now we have a kasha on Rebbe. How can Rebbe say that you put the dam on the Kira Mizbeach, with all due respect, even if it's Lamala, but it's not Kronos, and the Torah requires Keren? So here we have two answers to that question. That's going to be the plukta between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yochanan. Mar Sovar Ki Heichi the Keren Havya Amal Amo. You have this halacha that the Keren includes all of its width. One Amma this way, one Amma that way. Now we're going to dip below the Keren, and again we're going to have one Amma this way, one Amma this way. Now look at the way Rashi formulates it. The Af Kol Shetachtov Kenegdo, any area which is below the Keren, but directly below the Keren, which means an Amma this way and an Amma this way. Right, so let's say you're on the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, so you have the Amma on the Dromus, and you have the Amma on the Mizrachis. And it's all in the Kira Mizbeach below the Keren, but that's cool. Look at Rashi, Havi Keren. Those are the two key words in Rashi. Let's see if we can find those two words in Rashi. Rashi says, Ki Pligi Aliba de Rebbe, in the third of the wide lines, Adaf Nun Gimel Amin Aleph, Demachshale michut hasikul amala afal gav de lo keren mar sover ki kechi the keren havi ami almama af kol shetachto kenegdo havi keren. See those two key words in Rashi.
Right.
The chalushem, the halachic status of keren, dips below onto the kira mizbeach keneged keren. Umar sover cave under crow lava kronos mamish kapid is bishar. Sorry, I lost the place here. Bishar Mizbeach lo shaykh loshen keren. In other words, once the Torah says, according to Rebbe, that it's lavdafka keren mamish, no, if that be the case, then how are you going to use the Mizbeach itself, the Kira Mizbeach, and call it keren? And his answer to that, his solution to that riddle, is chuda shel keren. Chuda shel zavis. So now the Nefesh Tova raises the following question. Yesh listapik. Aliba demandis svir le bedas Rebbe, de be'inon chuda shel keren, im hainu dafka k'shenosein lamata min akronos,
Interesting. He suggests the following suffix. He doesn't know. He's vacillating back and forth. Is Rebbe doing away with the halach of Karen as we would have understood it classically? And he's saying Karen means literally that spitz, that corner where the two 90 degree angles meet. And even if he goes up to the Karen, Shebarosh HaMizbech, because again, Rebbe is not excluding the Karen. Everybody agrees. Reb Lozer Reb Shimon requires the Karen, but Rebbe agrees that you know you could do the Nesinas Dawa on the Karen. The Karen is not Mufka. I mean, the Torah says Karen. He doesn't require Karen Dafka, but he certainly would validate Karen. Where does he validate Karen? Is it anywhere on the Karen like Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, meaning an Amo Mikan and Amo Mikan? Or maybe what Rebbe's saying that when the Torah required Karen, the Karen was Chudosh Ol Mizbeach. Ubira Sofiku. So even if he's going up to the Karen itself, it's going to be Chudo Shel Karen. There's no question that Hamaruba Barosh HaMizbeach Anikra Karen, that this entire square is called Karen. But Aliba Derebi Yesh Lomar, maybe this premise that the entire square of the Karen is included in Karen, maybe that's dependent upon this Machlokas Amorayim. What is Karen in the Torah? According to one man, the other, we need Chuda Shel Karen. And that's what Rebbe requires. And he requires Chuda Shel Karen not only below the Karen, but even on the Karen itself. Dilo Rebbe, Kronos de Krol Lav Hainu Ribue Kronos. It's not referring to the sides of the Karen. El Zavis HaMizbeach. It means, the word Karen means the Zavis HaMizbeach. And Zavis HaMizbeach includes the entire Zavis of the Mizbeach, from the top down to the bottom, including both the Zavios of the Karen, of the Kronos, and the Zavios of the Kira Mizbeach as well. If he opts for the Pshutel Shel Mikra, and he does the Dam on the Kronos, but nevertheless, Tzorach Litein Dafkal Chuda, he has to do the Chuda Shel Kronos, because the word Kronos in the Torah is interpreted as the Chuda, as the Zavios HaMizbeach, the Zavios HaMizbeach, that exact corner that where the two walls meet, the two sides meet, that's called Kronos HaMizbeach. So therefore, even if he goes up to the Karen Mamash, he's going to still require the Chuda Shel Mizbeach, because that's what the word Kronos means. According to second Madi, who according to Rebbe, we allow a much wider area. We're not asking for the Chuda Shel Karen, but an Ama here and an Ama here below the Karen. Is Svirle Afle Rebbe, the Karen de Kro, Hainu Ama Mikan, Vi Ama Mikan, Shel Rosh HaMizbeach. That the word Karen means one Ama and one Ama, and he's willing to drop it down even below the Karen to the Mizbeach. El Desvile, Kol Shekneged HaKaren Lamato, Heimeno. Even the area below the Karen itself, but it corresponds to the Karen. If you go, I mean, vertically, if you follow what I mean. And that's also considered Karen. And therefore, you could do it Me'ama Li'ama. If that's called Karen, then obviously Karen is not Chuda Shel Karen. And therefore, if you go up to the Karen itself, you could do it Ama Mikan and Ama Mikan. Ulam, he says, Yesh Lefarish Bi Ofen Acher. Okay. He says the Kuli Amoroi Modu Rebbe Debribuai Kronos Sheberosh HaMizbeach Nikros Kronos. At this point he wants to take a different turn here, and he wants to say that everybody agrees that according to Rebbe, if he's doing the Nesina Saddam on the Kronos Mamish on top of the Mizbeach, then all the sides of the Karen are considered Karen. But rather they have a different machlok. Still a man di omer no sein ama v'yelef v'yava eilech mashi yochol liten lamata min ha-kronos ad chatzim zbechu mishum da'avi k'neged kronos el yonos. Now you want to underline the next phrase. U'rishus kronos ad chatzim zbech. So there's a loch of which he formulates a new loch in understanding this man di omer in Rebbe called rishus kronos. That the Karen, we think, is on top of the Mizbeach, Al Rosh HaMizbeach. No. The Karen spreads its wings and expands itself up until the middle of the Mizbeach. That's the Mandi Omar who says that Ama V'Elech V'Ama V'Elech. Now when we say the Keren expands its wings, I'm only talking in a vertical sense, you know, not horizontal. I'm not talking about the width, I'm talking about the, you know, going up and down the Mizbeach. Up and down the Mizbeach, the Keren means the top part of the Mizbeach. Anything that is connected to the Keren, which means the Ama Mikan and the Ama Mikan. Up until, but not below the Chut HaSikra. That the Zavis of the Mizbeach is also called a Keren. Ulekach, im nosen shelo ala Keren al Yona, tzarch litein dafka al Chuda. Hamios dim nosen al Kronos shebarosha Mizbeach modu Rebbe, aflaman di omer zede Isa, lechol ribua ha'elyon shem Keren. So the machlokas is the following: that is there a new halacha called reshus shel keren? According to the first man, the omnis halacha reshus shel keren, it means the keren on top of the mizbeach expands even below to the kira mizbeach, as long as you have keneged a keren, which means amam elich v'amam elich, up until the chut hasikra. That's called the expansionary nature or territorial expansion of the Karen. The second Mandi Omar, who requires Chuda Shel Karen, he holds that there is no din of Rishus Kronos. That when the Torah required Kronos, it meant two things. Again, the Rosh Yeshiva, the next paragraph, is going to have a problem with this. How can one word have two different meanings to it? But let's be sort of blind to that question right now. The word Keren in the Torah has two different meanings. Number one, it means the Keren itself, and that certainly includes Ama Mi'elech, Ama Elech, the entire, you know, width and on both sides of the Keren. That's an Ama on each side. And therefore, nobody questioned that. If he's up on the Keren, certainly he doesn't require Chudosh al Keren. But now, the word Keren in the Torah takes on a whole new meaning, a second meaning. And that means Chuda Shel Mizbeach. The Chuda Shel Mizbeach on the top half of the Mizbeach is called Keren. So there's Keren as an entity which is all-inclusive on top of the Mizbeach, and then there's the Keren on the rest of the Mizbeach, the balance of the Mizbeach, below the Kronos Mamish, and that's called Chuda. That Chuda, insofar as it's Zavis HaMizbeach, that is considered a Keren.
It's extending it. It's making a more liberal.
I'm afraid to use the word extending it, because then you're going to get confused with the other Mandi Omer. That's I'm avoiding the word extending. The first Mandi Omer says the Keren expands. You know, in other words, that Keren, that entity called Keren, includes the Kira Mizbeach for that Ama Elich and Ama Elich. Right. So you have like a territorial expansion in which the Keren itself swallows up a part of the Mizbeach, which is an Amamikan keneged the Keren. So the Keren extends even into the Mizbeach itself. That's the first Mandi Omer. The second Mandi Omer says, no, I can't expand the Keren. What, I have a different halacha, a new interpretation of the word Keren, a whole new interpretation of the word Keren. And here the word Keren means the corner of the Mizbeach, the Zavis HaMizbeach. So it goes like this. If we're talking about the original Keren, you know, like in art, you always have the original and then you have the reproduction. So if you're talking about the original Mamish Keren, then everybody agrees that includes Ama Mikan and Ama Mikan, Ama Elif and Ama Elif. Now we have a new definition of Keren, according to the second Mandi Omer. It's kind of a fallback position on the Keren. And that Keren means Chuda Shel Mizbeach. The Chuda Shel Mizbeach is also called the Keren. Again, in the case of Chatos, it's got to be above the Chut HaSikra. So from the area, from the Chut HaSikra going up, all the way to the Keren Mamish, we have at that spitz, at that corner, only on the corner, a Keren, a same Keren. Then we have the real Keren, you know, not the facsimile Keren, and the real Keren is Amal Mikan, Amal Mikan. According to this pshat, everybody agrees that you can, both Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe, everybody agrees, and all the Shittas in Rebbe, that Amal Elich, up on the Keren itself, is valid. The machlokis in Rebbe, where does Rebbe extend the possibility of doing Zrika on the Kira Mizbeach? And here we have two understandings. One is to take the Rishus of the Keren and extend it
for like almost a mirror image of the Keren on the Kira Mizbeach, which is going to be Ama Eilech, Ama Eilech. The second Matan Yoma says, no, there is no such halacha of broadening the scope of the Keren to include the Kira Mizbeach. But there's a new definition of Keren. And what's that new definition of Keren?
The
Chudash HaMizbeach has the din of Keren. The first case, it's a reality. You know, it's a physical, material reality of Keren. It's on top of the Rosh HaMizbeach. The second definition is a legal, halachic entity. A new definition of Keren, which
so
means Chudash HaMizbeach.
The chalot of Keren. I don't want to use the word
right.
Keren, but it...
Excellent. It's chalos Keren, called Chudash HaMizbeach. And an afkamin is going to be, are you allowed to move a little bit to the right or to the left of the chudash al mizbech? Point to the second man, no. Only the chudash al mizbech on the mizbech itself has a din or a status of Karen. So you don't have an inch to move on the right or an inch to move on the left. It's certainly not an alma. The first definition says Rava has this new halacha of rishus ha-karen, that al pidin. The Rishus HaKeren is not just limited to the physical reality of the Keren, but expands to include the Chudu Mikan below the Keren itself. And he says that Pashtus Nira Ke'atzad HaRishon, he says L'chora, the first understanding is right. This really Bedas Revi Debe'inon Chuda Hainu af im nosein al keren sheberosh hamizbeach atzma. The lav hoch, if you don't accept the first approach, on a tzrichim lomid the loshen keren misparish b'shtei lishonos, that the word keren has two different meanings according to the second approach that he suggested. Hainu gam hamaruba sheberosh hamizbeach v'gam zovis hamizbeach. So on the one hand, it means that square Keren, which is built on top of the Mizbeach. And on the other hand, it means, looking at the Mizbeach itself, the Zavis, the 90-degree angles at Spitz, is also called Keren. V'zed dochak uminolon lomar kein. Why and how do we have the audacity to come up with two different definitions and interpretations of the same word, Keren, in the Torah? Now let's put this on the side for a moment. Maybe we'll get a chance to come back to it. And I want to show you something here, and we'll take a moment to set up perhaps a schedule for ourselves from today and on. All right? So what you might want to look at is Daf. Let's see, where does the perek start? I think it's Mem Vav. Let me just double check that. Okay. So here we have on Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis. Sorry. On Daf. Give me one second. Sorry, just to turn the pages here. We're on Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph. Now, Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, the bottom third, I guess you'd call it a quarter, is a new perek, which is called Eizem Mekom and Shel Zvach. And that's the fifth perek of Masecht Zvach. So what I want to throw out as a possibility for our schedule, our curriculum, and again, it's just be trial and error if you say to go ahead with this. What I've been doing until this point is I've been trying to focus on sugyas relevant to the Mizbeach. Again, we have many different dimensions of Mizbeach. What I'm suggesting now, just a thought that occurred to me over Shabbos, is that maybe instead of looking around here, there, and elsewhere for sugyas about Mizbeach, and there are many such, perhaps we should take a perek in Zvachim, and I suggest this perek, the fifth perek, as a candidate, Eizem Mekom Shel Zvachim, and simply learn the perek pretty much kaseder, with a focus on number one, Gemara Rashi and Tosfos, and number two, my favorite sefer, of course, Nefesh Tova. I don't want to leave that out. And I wanted to get some feedback. I mentioned it to Ben and Shmuel and Aaron. If you can, I don't see Don here today.
Yeah, Don had to go to work today.
To work. So maybe we'll get Don's contribution to this idea either on the phone or by something. So what do you say, Shmuel? What do you say, Aaron? You think it's a good idea? Meaning, I'm not committed to read every single word in the Gemara, as we may skip around, but pretty much to really go kisei there so that we can, you know, besides the fact that we recite this perek in Mishnayos every day for those who have the minhag, but besides which, I think it's it's an entity unto itself. Should we try it as an experiment?
Sure.
Yeah?
Great.
Okay. So let's try that as an experiment. Let's start with the Mishnah itself. Okay. And
it's quoted in Ketubos, where one of the Amoraim had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and they said this pasuk, and got outside and was leaving Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I should find that inside. Is it Makom?
Well, I don't know about Ketubot. I mean, Ketubot is a story about an Amora who said that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are worth each one twice as we are in Bavel. But then when he went on Aliyah to Yisrael, he says now I'm worth two times the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, which means ratio 1-4. So that's a good plug for Aliyah. I mean, there is a Mishnah, I think, in Trumas about the Tanoim, that when they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, they looked back to the land from the sea and they broke out in tears. I don't know if that's what you mean. So here we have Ezu Makom and Shel Zvachim. Okay, then we're going to talk about, of course, Kachim. And the Mishnah establishes Ezu Makom and Shel Zvachim. Where do you do the avodos of the carbon in the case of Kachim? And the Mishnah establishes Kachim Shchitason Batsofon. Okay, now where the Tzfon HaZorah is, we don't know. And that's going to be an issue as we go through this perek. But the Torah definitely requires tzafon. And this is a reference to the Mizbach HaOlah, the Mizbeach HaChitzoni, as we say. And we're talking about Chatos, Asham, or Olah, plus Shalmei Tzibur, which are the Kivsei Atzeres of Chag HaShavuos. In all these cases, require Shechita B'Tzafon. On that part of the Azorah, which is north of the Mizbeach. Now, when we talk about north of the Mizbeach, there are many, many different possibilities. And I think that Don once showed me a beautiful diagram, but I don't have it right this second in front of me. And there are going to be many shitas in the Tanoim, exactly what it means. If you go from Tzafon to the end of the Azorah, moving north, that's an area called the Beit HaMitbachayim, and that's where they do the Shechita of the Karbanos of Kodshei Kodshim, and that part of the Azorah clearly has the status of Tzafon. There are protrusions, there are areas that extend to the right that are beyond the Mizbeach and going Tzafon, and to the left beyond the Mizbeach, and those are going to be, you know, controversial areas whether they have the din of Tzafon or not. But now the Mishnah wants to point out that not only does the Shechita have this restriction in the case of Kodshei Kodshim of requiring Tzafon, but add to that the Kabbalah Sadam. Okay? Now the Mishnah, first of all, tells you that there are unique Karbanos on Yom HaKippurim that are going to require special dinim of Hazoah Sadam. Dam al Bein Abadim, on the Parochas, and so forth and so on. But we're not going to focus on that today. What we want to focus on today is Kibul Daman B'Klishari Spat Sofon. So for today's purpose, if you want to underline five words in the Mishnah, they would be Kibul Daman B'Klishari Spat Sofon.
Now the Mishnah is telling us two things. One thing seems absolutely obvious, and that is that the Kabbalah Saddam is going to be Bitsofa. It's not totally obvious, because in theory, if let's say the Kohen would bring the let's say the Chatos, for example, all the way up to the boundary of Tzofon, and he himself would be Makabal Adam outside the area of Tzofon, so the Mishnah is telling me that that's not considered Tzofon, because the Kabbal Saddam had been Tzofon. But again, that's a very rare kind of scenario. More likely, the Chiddush of this Mishnah is that the Kabbal Saddam has to be done in a Klisharis. Does anybody know what the opposite of a Klisharis would be in the Havamina?
Either spilling it out directly from
No, the opposite. The flip side of a Klisharis would be what? I'll give you a hint. Kli Chol. Okay, so those are your two, those are your two definitions of Kelim. Like, for example, if I take a cup or a bowl, that's called a Kli Chol. If I'm Makdish it L'Tzorach HaMigdosh, that makes it into a Kli Sharis. So we require Kli Sharis here. And the question is, how does the Mishnah know that we require Kli Sharis? So we'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, now again, you'll see that Rashi is in a little bit of a step form, so I'm talking about the middle size, you know, wide lines, but not the widest lines of Rashi. We're talking about the third of the middle size wide lines, but Kli Sharis. Dichsiv bi'ola b'sinai v'yasem ba'aganos u'mimenu lomdu kol hazvachim behekeshon behekesh liton Kli. Now, Rashi is referring to a parsha in Mishpatim. At the end of Parsha's Mishpatim.
Excuse me.
Bless you. And that's called Ola, the Ola. There were many different karbonis that were brought in the context of Kabbalah HaTorah, the Bris of Nasav and Ishma. One of them was called a Karban Ola. And with regard to the Karban Ola, the dam was placed into what's called Aganos. These are receptacles. Kli, Kelim. And you get the impression from Rashi that you need a Kli. You need a Kli. There would be some possibility, for example, of circumventing the Kli by, let's say, pushing the dam, you know, if the animal is situated such next to the Mizbeach. But no, the dam has to be received in a Kli. Now, I see here a little yud here. I didn't notice it before. I'm trying to figure out, is there a different gear set he has in Rashi? No. As far as I can tell, this little yud that I have, he's just telling you that Rashi is basing himself on a Gemara later on, a Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. That's what I think that little yud is. Okay. So what I want to show you here is the Nefesh Tova. And again, in the second volume, the same volume that we've been doing, if you could turn backwards to page Shin Samach Gimel. And this is the beginning of Perek Ezer Makomon, the Perek that perhaps I want to say we nether, because I don't want it to be a nether gadol, that we'll take upon ourselves to learn. And after quoting Rashi, so we're looking at Simon Aleph in Perek Ezer Makomon. He says that Rashi is based on a Gemara and Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Loza, Zos HaTorah. There's one pasuk in the Chumash that combines all the categories of Kabbalas into one and creates a Hekesh. And in this case, Ola, which is the first on the list, is going to become the paradigm, and all the other Kabbalas are going to be compared to Ola. So the pasuk reads, "V'zos haTorah liOla leMincha leChatos liYoshev leMiluim uleZevach Hashlamim," and all the karbanos are being compared and equated with Ola. LiOla ki Ola ma Ola teUna Kli afkol teUna Kli. Rabbi said, "What word would you perhaps have added to the Gemara?" I don't know. I would have added to the Gemara anyway. Can you guess what?
Sharis.
It doesn't say Kli Sharis. It says Kli. Rashi also, if you notice, when he quotes the Gemara, Rashi at the beginning of Ezer Makomon, he leaves out the word Sharis. So the Gemara says, My Kli, what did you have in mind, Shmuel, when you established that you require a Kli? Ilema Mizrak. If you're going to tell me that it's coming to establish that you need a kli shares, which is called a Mizrak, that was the kli that was used as a receptacle for dam in the Beis HaMikdash, is Mizrak b'shalmei tzibur namiksiv. It doesn't make sense that your paradigm here is Ola, because the pasuk seems to indicate that even when we talk about shalmei tzibur, let's again go back to Parshas Mishpatim, in that whole section that describes the korbanos that were brought at the time of Matan Torah, amongst them were called shalmei tzibur, and there it says vayikach Moshe chatzi adam vayosem baganos. And it sounds to me, at least, again, we'll be open-minded about it, and we'll judge this, that the word aganos is referring to kli sharets. So why did you tell me that Ola becomes the paradigm to establish kli sharets? Ela, but rather, you know what Shmuel has in mind? You know what we derive from Ola? Ela de sakin. In other words, there are many ways in which you can do shechita. And in fact, in Chulin, you know, you can shecht an animal with a sharp stone and other kinds of objects. There's no requirement of a kli, of a sakin. But in Kachim, the shechit has to be done with a sakin. And apparently, the Gemara understood that the paradigm for that halacha, the makor, the source for that halacha, is Karban Ola. That Karban Ola requires a sakin. So it's very interesting, because Lamaisa, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sadi Zion, which the maskot of that Gemara is that what Shmuel is trying to establish here, based on the parasha of Mishpatim, he's trying to establish that a sakin is an absolute requirement. You need a knife in order to achieve shechita. That seems to be the maskot of Sadi Gemara. So he points out in the next paragraph, after the Gemara Sham Mevuar Daha de Beinon Kli BeKabbalah. How do we know that you need a Kli? For Kabbalah Sadam Yalfida Mishal Meit Sibur de Sinai Velomi Ola de Sinai. This is very interesting. If you want to establish the requirement of Kabbalah BeKli, which is what our Mishnah at the beginning of Eitzim Mekomen establishes, Rashi says we derive it from Har Sinai. Well, as a matter of fact, that was just a Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara thought maybe we should derive it from Har Sinai, the Aganos of Har Sinai. And the answer is no, the Gemara rejects that, because then you're not deriving it from Ola, you're deriving it from Shalvei Tzibur. And Rashi here says we derive from Ola. So he's, on the one hand, he's talking about the requirement of a Kli Shares, but on the other hand, he says we derive that from the Ola. The Gemara itself says that was only in the Havamin. The Gemara rejects that Havamin in favor of deriving Kli Sharis from Shalmei Tzibur. Yesh Lomer, he says, the Haina Leman Diomar, I'm sorry, Lisalka Daita, the Maksha, Hashas, the Lo Liboy Hekesh Li Ola. The Gemara Havamin that we don't need a Hekesh to Ola because we can supplant it with a Hekesh to Shalmei Tzibur. And Rashi himself embellishes the Gemara there on Tzadi Zayin in that way. That Kushta Gemara is that in order to derive that we need a Mizrak, that we need a Kli Sharis, we don't have to stretch our arm out to a Hekesh to Ola in that Pasuk, because there's a Hekesh to Shalmei Tzibur. The Shalmei Sinai, which was Shalmei Tzibur, required a Kli. And that's what the Torah says explicitly, Aganos, that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Kli, received the Dam and the Aganos. So the Havamina, the Gemara said, you know what? We don't need a Hekesh to Ola, we can derive it from a Hekesh to Shlomin. Aval Bosa Demasik Ashas, the Hukshu Kulu Gamli Ola. At the end of the day, we need a Hekesh of all Korbanos to Ola to establish what did? Ola is not the paradigm for Kli Sharis, but the paradigm for what? Sakin, that we need a knife, is Yalfinin Gam Mizrak Mi Ola Sinai. In other words, that these Aganos, which were Kli Shares for the Kabbalah Sadam, they were used for all the Karbanos there, not just the Shlomim, but also the Olos. And now that we have a Hekesh in which Ola becomes the paradigm for all other Karbanos, to teach me the requirement of Shechita B'Sakin, then included in that Hekesh, Rashi says, we could derive the conclusion of Kli Sharis. So again, in the Havamina, we don't need an Ola for the Hekesh to Kli Sharis. We can derive that from Shalmei Tzibur. because at Har Sinai the agados were used to receive the dam of the Shalmei Tzibur as well. So the Gemara says, why do you need this hekesh to Ola? That becomes superfluous. But Lamaskana, we need the hekesh to Ola for a different reason, to derive a different halach, namely that shechita has to be done with what? With a sakin. Once we have that hekesh, then included in that hekesh is that agados were used not only to be mekabel the dam of Shalmei Tzibur, but also even Kabbalah and Dam of the Olas. So therefore, Ola requires Kabbalah Sadam Ba'agonos, which is a klisharis. And from Ola we can derive all other kodshim. Onam Yeshli Ayin, Hechi Nafka Biyosim to be in a klisharis, Valo Bi Olas Sinai, Lo Hoya klisharis. Now here I got a little bit lost. And I'm hoping that as we go through this essay will become clear, because at this point, the Rosh Yeshiva lays down an assumption which I'm not familiar with. And he says that the aganos that were used at the end of Parashas Mishpatim at Har Sinai did not have the status of a kli sharetz. They had the status of a kli chol. Uminolan, therefore, how do you know for all generations to the future that we need kli sharetz? V'lo sagi v'mizrak shel chol? Take any receptacle, you know, from your closet and receive the dam. Now I'm thinking out loud here that maybe what the Rosh Yeshiva is assuming is that until they built the Mishkan, all Hakrova was Bibama. And it didn't have Hakrova's Bama. Maybe in Hakrova's Bama there's no requirement of Klisharis. I don't know. I'm saying things that are very tenuous. So then he writes the following. Now he quotes a Sugya Daf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph. So Rav Osa, we have here three different sugyas. We have the sugya here on Daf Mem Zayin, the beginning of Ezim Makoman, where the mission establishes that you require Kabbalah Bekli Shares. We have a sugya on Daf Sadi Zayin Amid Beis, in the name of Shmuel, that Ola becomes the paradigm to derive Kli Shares for all Karbanos. Now we have a sugya on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph that we have to sew into the picture. That's what I love about the Sefer Nefesh Tova. He draws from all over. And it says Vikrivo, that when the Torah says Vikrivo, Zu Kabbalah Sadam. You know, you might think that Vikrivo is what you call Holacha Sadam. But he said, no, the Gemara says that Vikrivo means Kabbalah Sadam. Atoma Kabbalah Sadam or Eno El Zrika. Maybe Vikrivo means to come close to the Mizbeah in order to do the Zrika. And the Gemara has a whole complicated limud, Yalfusa, to prove that Vikrivo means Kabbalah Sadam. Upirish Rashi, Vikrivu Dixiv Biola, that the word Vikrivu in that pasuk, which the Gemara quotes, is a Karban Ola, and the Kabbalah Sadam, Lilmod, Shetzarch Lekablo Bekli, Ata Omer Vechule, O Eno Ela Bizrika, maybe it's not referring to Kabbalah Sadam, Ama Kabbalah Tzarech, Me Oel Moe V'Elech. In other words, from the time of setting up the Mishkan and on, maybe we don't require a Kabbalah Bekli. Kshu Omer Vikrivu Zu Kabbalah Sadam. Kedash Khan Kabbalah Biolas Sinai Vayikach Moshech Chatzi Adam Vayosim Bagonos. So in other words, there was a Havanin in the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel that maybe Vikrivu is a reference to Zrika and you don't need Kabbalah at all. And the Gemara says that from Vayosef Bagonos, we derive the requirement of Kabbalah. So if we have the pasuk Vayosef Bagonos, which means that Moshe received the dam in these receptacles, then how did the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel raise the possibility that we don't even need Kabbalah Sadam at all? And that Vikrivo is not the source for Kabbalah Sadam, but Vikrivo is Rika. We know that you have to have Kabbalah Sadam, because Kabbalah Sadam is derived from Vayosem Bagonos. So this is what bothered Rashi over there on Daf Yud Gimel, and Rashi's answer was that Salka Daitra would have thought, Dimi Oel Moe V'Elech Lo Tzorech Kabbalah, that as far as the Mishkan is concerned, once the Mishkan was set up, you don't need Kabbalah. Kamashmon Krod Vikrivu, The afli achar ol moy beinin kabbalah kid ashkan besinai. In other words, we would have said that maybe the requirement of kabbalah sadam that was limited to our Sinai. But lidoros, as far as ol moy, as far as setting up the mishkan, we don't need kabbalah sadam. For that, we need the pasuk v'krivu. So the Nefesh Tova asks the following question. Sarachina, my sakadakta me olv moed vielch lo niboy kabbalah. If Moshe Rabbeinu required kabbalah at the time of our Sinai, what was the logic to assume that maybe when we got to the Mishkan we shouldn't require kabbalah sadam? The od kashin, furthermore, me the kos of Rashi kida ashkan besinai mashman the krod vikrivu goli de oso din kabbalah shoy besinai ikonami bol moed vinkain. Am I being on klisharis be kabbalah me olv moed vielch? He goes back to his original premise that at the time of our Sinai there was no klisharis. Again, we have to figure out why, how he knows such a thing. And therefore, if that be the case, according to Rashi, that the only way that we understand that you require Kabbalah is based on what happened at the time Moshe Rabbeinu, which was before the Mishkan was set up. From the word Vikrivu, we're gonna extend that requirement of Kabbalah Sadam from Har Sinai all the way to Ol Moed. But why do we need a klisharis for Kabbalah Sadam? If the whole basis of this, you know, triggering off this Chagadya, this very complicated Yalfusa, is based on the Agonos of Har Sinai, the Agonos of Har Sinai were not a klisharis. So let's just review the Rebbe. The Rebbe here has two kashas. The first kash he wants to ask is why Bechlal did the Gemara assume that what happened at Har Sinai would have a different din, a different status than what took place after the Mishkan was established. And secondly, okay, I admit that from the case of Har Sinai, together with the word Vikriva, we could derive Kabbalah Sadam, but how do you know the Kabbalah Sadam requires a klisharis? After all, at the time of Har Sinai, there was no klisharis. So this is where we're going to stop for today. And what I'd really like to do is tomorrow, Bli Neder, to try to integrate the sugya with the balance of this essay. So if you have the possibility of looking a little bit forward, because the reason why I want to accept, you know, take on upon ourselves this project of Ezim Makomon is so that we could all be on the same page. You know, I got the feeling that you never knew where my next pitch is going to come from. You know, it'll be coming from here or coming from there. Now we can try to see, again, it's just a test case, if we can find ourselves well-grounded in Perek Ezim Makomon. And this way you'll be able to get a feeling for where I want to go. And if you have the Nefesh Tova, for sure you'll get a feeling for where I want to go. All right, so I wish everyone a wonderful day and a Shavua Tov, and everything should be well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.